This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Ann Schmidt-Grahady.
We're inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio with Larry Foley and Beth Mack-Lewis, two of the driving forces behind the still work-in-progress documentary, Up Among the Hills, which is a story of Fayetteville, correct?
That's it.
Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Why Up Among the Hills?
Waterman Ormsby was a 24-year-old newspaper correspondent for the New York Herald, and he hopped on the Butterfield stage, mail stage, right outside St. Louis in 1858, along with John Butterfield, and they were going to take the first through trip, Butterfield stage. This is when Butterfield had gotten the mail contract with the U.S. government, from St. Louis to San Francisco. As he passes through the rugged Boston Mountains of the Ozarks and comes into Fayetteville on the stage, Ormsby, in his writings, observes that Fayetteville is located up among the hills in a most inaccessible place. It is a flourishing little town, and so thus the name Up Among the Hills.
When you're telling the story of a town, where do you decide to even start, or where do you even decide to finish? Because there's so much that goes into the history of a place.
Well, that's a good question, and it's going to sound a little bit like a lecture that I've given about 8,000 times. And a good friend of mine, Harold McKinney, asked me this question the other day. How can you do justice to it? And that is the challenge. The way I tell the story in my class to my students is that imagine you have a jar of jelly beans. Well, you can't tell the story of every jelly bean. You have to find a few interesting and quirky and bizarre jelly beans, and those are the ones that you focus on.
Well, you mentioned jelly beans. Beth, I want to bring you into this conversation. There's a jelly bean you're looking for, and that's a photo of a gentleman named Buddy Hayes.
Absolutely. Buddy Hayes grew up in Fayetteville. He was an African-American. And he, back then, the African Americans were not allowed to go beyond an eighth grade education for higher learning unless they were transported to Fort Smith or somewhere else. Well, Buddy Hayes' parents chose to send him to St. Louis to Sumner High School, which was the first African American high school west of the Mississippi. And so it was also well known for its music program. And in fact, he was very musical and he played the trumpet. And he was so good at playing the trumpet that his sister told us that Louis Armstrong would frequently go to Sumner High School and audition some of that up-and-coming young talent, and was so impressed with Buddy's skills as a trumpet player that he offered him a contract when he graduated from high school. And Buddy, because he was very much a homebody and just was especially attached to his mother, I think, he didn't really want to live the life of a traveling musician. And so he declined the contract and decided to come back to Fayetteville. Then he set up his own band and played frequently at dances and different events. And so we feel like there might be a picture out in the community.
He was quite the fixture, right, on the music scene for a few decades.
Well, from the 30s up through the 60s and maybe even the early part of the 70s, Buddy had, by day, was a bootblack, a shoeshine guy at the U of A barbershop on Dixon Street. That's where it was, even though it was U of A. But he and his band practiced in the back of the barbershop, and they would play at Fayetteville Country Club and Fayetteville High School and the cave up there at Bella Vista and all kinds of U of A events. And when we began doing the early part of the research of this film, here's what kept happening. We would talk with someone in the community, and they would say, has anybody told you about Buddy Hayes? Do you know about Buddy Hayes? And it just kept coming up. Well, I really didn't know a lot about Buddy Hayes, but what we found out is that he was an accomplished musician. He played a style of music called jump blues, dance music. Now, as we tell the story, and this is one of these little stories that projects Fayetteville onto the national scene, Buddy, by the night, you know, he came back here, I guess, in the 30s, right, Beth? Mm-hmm.
He graduated about, I think, 33
right.
or 4.
So we're talking about the early 50s now, in the very early stages of rock and roll. And here in Fayetteville, we have this hyperkinetic teenager, kid at Fayetteville High School, who is seduced by rock and roll. And, of course, you know, here we are in Fayetteville, where we don't really have a big African-American population anyway, and certainly there's no blues or rhythm and blues influence.
And this is before MTV, obviously, before Rolling Stone. You're somewhat isolated.
That's exactly right. So Buddy's dad worked at he was a barber at the barbershop where, this teenager's dad. Mm-hmm. His name was Ronnie Hawkins.
Hmm.
So Ronnie's dad was at the barbershop. So Ronnie got familiarized with Buddy, and he loved Buddy's music, and he would go back there and listen to him practice, and he really picked up on that sound. So Buddy starts his own band, and I think his original drummer was Herman Tuck of Herman's Rib House, mm-hmm. and some buddies of his, and they get to the point where they're traveling around, and he goes out to Eastern Arkansas, and he hires a kid from East Arkansas named Levon Helm, who really didn't know how to play the drums but wanted to be in a band, so he hires him on. But I think before I get into the rest of this story, if you want to hear it, Ronnie Hawkins' influence, early influence, was Buddy Hayes. That's who motivated him. That was his muse, as we say. Now, what happens to Ronnie? He forms a band called Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks. He starts getting some gigs, plays at the Rockwood Club here in Fayetteville and some other places. He starts getting some gigs up in Canada, where he becomes huge, stays up there the rest of his career, becomes in some circles known as the Elvis Presley of Canada. His band, involving people like Robbie Robertson and Levon Helm and others, they eventually split off and move back to Fayetteville in the mid-60s. And for a while, they were like Levon the Hawks, and ultimately, they're hungry, and they're trying to figure out what their next move is. And one of the stories that we tell is that while they're here in Fayetteville in the 1960s and trying to figure out what their next move is, Robbie Robertson writes, "The night they drove Old Dixie down." And there's a line in there that says something like, you know the line.
Yeah.
"We were hungry and barely alive." Well, the myth is that probably factual. Earl Kate tells this story, that was really written not necessarily about the Civil War, but about their time in Fayetteville when they were stealing steaks out of the Piggly Wiggly freezer there on Dixon Street. Ultimately, what happens to Levon and the Hawks is that they become the backup band for Bob Dylan.
Immortalized in The Last Waltz.
And become the band, you know, with Take a Load Off Fanny and The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. And their start was right here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So the way we spin the story is that Buddy begets Ronnie, who begets the band. And there are a couple of teenagers at the time named Earl and Ernie Kate, who actually were offered an opportunity to go join the band. And they turned it down because they were young, and their mother would not let them go on the road. So even today, through all these many years, if you're lucky, on a certain Friday night, you can hear Earl and Ernie performing down at George's Majestic Lounge.
Well, let's get back to this photograph of Buddy
yes.
Hayes, this elusive, this, as of this conversation, non-existing photograph of Buddy Hayes. How is that possible? There has to be a photograph out there.
Well, obviously, you would think that the first place to look would be with the family. So, of course, his only surviving sibling is his younger sister, Betty Davis. She doesn't have any photos outside of a couple when he was a very small boy, simply because she told me that he never, ever liked to have his picture taken. Mm-hmm. So as far as having a posed picture, there may not be much of one.
Mm.
But we do have a couple of pictures of him probably a year or two before he passed away from the barbershop. what we're really, really hoping to find is a photo that has the musical tie for us, with an instrument in his hand, with a band at a dance,
maybe
even
in the background of a dance or something like that. Mm-hmm. We just have to think that this guy played at so many venues that somewhere, someplace, somebody has a photo, and it would help us tell the story because, yeah, Buddy worked down at the barber shop, but really our story is much more focused on this, on his musical career and the impact that he had in this community as a real leader among both. He was really a bridge in those days to the white and black communities. He was beloved by all.
So when you're making a documentary, I mean, what happens if you can't find this photo or you don't have this footage that you want? I mean, is there a way to get to still be able to tell the story? I mean, I guess not as well as you would like because you want that picture of him with the instrument. But is there a way around it, I guess?
You get creative.
Well, one of the things that we're doing, and we want to talk about this, coming up on March the 24th at the Legacy Blues Club here in Fayetteville.
It's a Saturday night.
Exactly, and it's a free event. We're having a tribute to Buddy Hayes concert event to be performed by the Rodney Block Quartet, a jazz quartet out of Little Rock. Now, Rodney is an accomplished African-American jazz trumpet player. And he's also really into sort of the history of African-American jazz musicians in Arkansas. And when I found out about Rodney and called him up, he was thrilled to have the opportunity to come up and do this. So one of the things that we're doing is that Rodney at this event will step up to the microphone and say, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're happy to be here in Fayetteville tonight. We're going to be having a tribute event playing the jump blues sound of a Fayetteville legend, Mr. Buddy Hayes." And we'll use some of that footage that night to kind of help us tell the story of Buddy, because among the other tunes that the band will be playing that night will be some of those songs that Buddy made famous. We do have some original recording material of Buddy. So it's interesting that we have audio recording of Buddy, but we have no film footage or no still photos of Buddy and his group playing.
I bet if there was any way to ever know this, to contact Buddy Hayes, he would be okay with that you had audio and not visual.
What we've heard, I think that's right.
Doesn't help you as a documentary filmmaker. So that's Saturday night at Legacy Blues, the 24th.
Yeah, and we're hoping folks will come out for this. It's going to be a lot of fun. And one of the things that we plan to do during breaks is, because so many people knew Buddy and loved him, is that we'll give them the opportunity to step up to the microphone and tell a Buddy Hayes story. And there are plenty.
Well, Up Among the Hills, so October 19th. Buddy Hayes' photograph would be appreciated before then.
Anybody that probably was in high school in the 40s and 50s here in Fayetteville might have had Buddy play at one of their school dances or something like that. If they can check a scrapbook for me, that would just be super, just to see if he might be in the background.
And the Buddy Hayes tribute concert is Saturday the 24th at Legacy Blues on Dixon Street.
We beginning at 6:30 that evening, a free event. We encourage folks to come out. It'll be lots of fun. And Rodney Block and his quartet, they are fabulous. People will enjoy it.
All right. Beth, Larry, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.